The gospel has always driven Blackhawk's mission of building a loving community that follows Christ in order to reach a community that is lost without him. When people experience the gospel in unexpected ways, it creates a ripple effect. Reach is a strategic movement to multiply the effects of the gospel, starting here and spreading throughout the world. In this season, Blackhawk has been entrusted with opportunities to respond with the gospel in two areas: engaging the neighborhoods rapidly growing around our existing sites and serving new neighborhoods in our city. This will happen through four strategic initiatives: completing our Brader Way building, building a permanent Fitchburg site, intentionally pursuing our relationship with Zion City Church, and financially preparing for a new future site. Reaching our city will take more than a capital campaign, though. It will take people engaging and investing where they live. In this season, we are asking everyone at Blackhawk to pray, live, and give in new ways. Together, we can reach.
Good morning. My name is Charles. I'm one of the pastors of the teaching team. Greetings to all of you here at Eastside Live and those of you joining us by video in Traditions, the Gallery, Downtown, Fitchburg, and those of you in the Chinese venue, 弟兄姐妹平安. And to all of you, welcome to Blackhawk Church. We are very glad you are here. This is the second sermon in a five-part series we call Reach, and these are critical 5 weeks. We're talking about the vision, the future direction of our church. Now, some of you are new here, you're checking us out, and you're probably thinking, this is not a series that's for me. Well, actually, this is a great series for you, because we're going to be talking about the big stuff, the passion of this church, the thing that we really care about, what Blackhawk's really all about. And if you like what you hear, we invite you to join our community. Today, I want to begin with the vision statement of Blackhawk Church, and I'm hoping you all know it, so I'm going to ask you to participate, okay? So the vision of Blackhawk Church is, loudly everyone, to build a loving community that follows Christ in order to reach a community that is lost without him. That was good. Okay. Right there in that vision statement, right in the middle of it, is the word reach. It's what we have been about, it's who we are, and it's who we are to be. God calls us to reach our city. And I think most of us know that. But today I want to make it crystal clear. Okay? Reaching our city is not some kind of an optional thing if we have time for it. No, it's God's command for his people. If you have your Bible, please turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Now this is the background to the passage. In our Love This Book series, we have been talking about the story of the ancient kingdom of Israel, a kingdom that God established in order to reach a rebellious world. Unfortunately, this kingdom rebels against God repeatedly. And finally, by around 600 BC, God's had enough. So he orders the Babylonian Empire to destroy his own kingdom. And now this destruction doesn't happen all at once. It happens over the course of a couple decades. So around 597 BC, Babylon invades and conquers Jerusalem. Now the Babylonian policy at that time works like this. They take the social, political, religious, educated elite of the conquered people, and they relocate them to Babylon. The theory is that if you take away leaders, there's nobody to rally around for the people, and they're less likely to rebel. And this also has the added benefit of transforming Babylon into this cosmopolitan city teeming with the creme de la creme of the ancient world. You know, musicians, inventors, artists, intellectuals. So in 597 BC, Babylon carries off the elite of the Hebrew people. They're the first wave of the exiles. They arrive in Babylon, and they are in shock. Why? Well, first, they just lost a war. A war that the prophets have told them they cannot possibly lose because Yahweh, the creator God of the universe, is fighting on their side. God has put his name on the temple in Jerusalem, and he would never allow it to fall into foreign hands. And second, they're in shock because they've been on the road for 4 months, 900 miles traveling, and they arrive in Babylon, new culture, new language, new neighborhoods. They're far from home, and this is a time of crisis. What do we do now? Well, one option is to give up on Yahweh. Well, we fought a war, and Yahweh obviously is not as strong as the Babylonian god Marduk. Let's go worship Marduk instead. And some ancient Hebrews undoubtedly pursue that option. But for those Israelites in Babylon who want to stay faithful to Yahweh, the question is, what does it look like to even be, what does it look like to be faithful to God in Babylon anyway? So some people propose, you know what? One way to think about this is that this is a temporary setback. You know, this is a test of our faith. God's going to triumph. God's going to win. So this actually happens. Prophets come along in Babylon and they say, hey, we heard from God. And this is all going to change. God is going to crush the Babylonians. You just got to have faith. We're going to be back in Jerusalem before you know it. And these exiles, well, they hear that. They go, yeah. And they believe these prophets. And they started to live as people who are leaving soon. They don't unpack their bags. They live out of their suitcases. They rent. They don't buy. They don't grow gardens. They don't plant trees. They don't get to know their neighbors. They don't care about their neighborhood because they're leaving soon. Now, there's this true prophet from God. His name is Jeremiah. And he is not part of the exiles. He's not in Babylon. He's in Jerusalem. But he hears about what's going on in Babylon. And he writes them this letter. And that's what we're reading today. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 9. It's what Jeremiah says to the exiles. This is what Yahweh Almighty, when you see Lord in all caps in your English Bible, that's God's personal name, Yahweh. This is what Yahweh Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to Yahweh for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what Yahweh Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares Yahweh. What is Jeremiah saying in this letter? Well, first thing, number one, verses 8 and 9. Okay, those prophets were telling you about you're going home to Jerusalem soon. They're lying. Don't believe them. I did not send them. Believing that you're going to Jerusalem, you're returning home very soon, is not how you have faith in Yahweh. Why? Number two, because I carried you into exile. You're in Babylon because I want you there. You're there by divine command. So number three, it's time to settle down. It's time to drop the rent, don't buy attitude. It's time to grow gardens, plant trees, and plan for the next generation. You know, figure out which Babylon district has the best schools, that kind of stuff. And number four, pursue the peace and welfare of the city. Invest in your neighborhoods. Live in a way that benefits the city. Don't hold a grudge against Babylon just because they invaded your country and ripped you from your home. Remember, you're there because God wants you there. So, number five, pray for Babylon because your fate and the city is entwined. And that's Jeremiah's message to the exiles in Babylon. It's how they are to be faithful to God. Throughout church history, pastors and theologians have concluded consistently that Jeremiah's message speaks directly to us Christ followers because we're in a similar situation as those exiles. Number one, we, as subjects of the kingdom of God, also live as foreigners and exiles in this world. We live in a land that does not pledge allegiance to God and does not share the cultures of the kingdom of God. And number two, we live here by divine command. Jesus sent his church out into the world. We're here because God wants us to be here. Now, there's a world of difference between us and the Gentiles, and the exiles, right? We're not here as a result of a war. We're here, most of us are here, because we want to be here. We love Madison. We think of Madison as our home. But that does not change God's command, if anything. If God commands the exiles in Babylon to pursue the peace and prosperity of the capital city of their enemies, how much more so for us who love the city and live here because we want to? So God's command is clear. What God says to the exiles in Babylon, he says to us. We are to pray for Madison. We are to live in a way that benefits Madison. We are to invest in Madison. There's no ifs or buts about this. The only question is, how do we do it? At Bacow Church, we have been responding to Jeremiah's message for almost 52 years. We have engaged with the city over the decades, quietly but actively. We believe that good works creates goodwill in our city that opens the door for the good news. And one of the things we notice is that when we take small steps of faith to respond to God, things grow. Small initiatives become bigger initiatives. Working together a couple times morph into deeper relationships. And in all these different endeavors, at some point we reach a moment of decision that we need to take a conscious next step in order to move things forward. So in our decade-long engagement with the city, we reach a point where we say, you know what? Let's cancel Sunday service and let's do Love Madison. In working with various partners in the city, at some point we realize, you know, we need to formalize these partnerships and get hooked up with organizations that target particular neighborhoods. Organizations like Boys and Girls Club, Leopold and Falk Elementary School, Habitat for Humanity, Nehemiah, Central Hispano, and just to name a few. It's the same with our university community. We started with a handful of students. That started to grow. And at some point, we made a decision, let's do study day and open that up to the whole campus. And as you heard, we now have 1,700 students coming to our church for study day, and we do this twice a year. Small steps of faith, things grow, and then we have to take the next step. Back in the year 2000, Terrell Smith, he's an InterVarsity staff worker, he ran into an international graduate student from Singapore here in Black Hawk. He thought, wouldn't it be good for this grad student to have a place to hang out, to talk to some other international students, and to talk about God? So he put together a team and formed the International Club, or what we call iClub. Now, iClub started meeting downstairs in our Whitney Way site. Now, they provided free lunch for 15 years every Sunday. Okay. Oh, by the way, you see that top left photo, the guy on the edge of that picture? Yeah, that's Pastor Chris with a bit more, yeah. It was a great place to build relationship. It's a great place to talk about God. And more, not just Sunday mornings. They were doing square dances, trips out to state parks, Thanksgiving dinners, Christmas parties, and on and on. And the great thing is these international students and scholars encountered Jesus. And many of them became Christ followers, and they took their faith home with them to all over the world. When we take small steps of faith and God makes it grow, and it takes us in different places, unexpected places. So God not only brought visiting scholars and international students to Black Hawk, with iClub, Chinese immigrants who live in Madison started to come to Black Hawk. Some of them got together and formed Chinese-speaking life groups. Others got together and did their own ministry to visiting scholars. And we have people coming left and right. We have elderly folks from Eagle Heights. They hop on the bus, they get here, they don't speak a word of English, but they love the music and the coffee. Things are happening here. And we're like, and we realize we have to respond. So in 2013, we formed Black Hawk Chinese Ministry. In 2014, we hired a pastor for that Chinese ministry. That's me, in case you didn't know. And in 2015, we started a Chinese language venue. On Sunday morning, 11:15 hour, in the gym after traditions, you will find 100 folks gathered together, Chinese folks gathered together, to worship and praise God. Right now, we have 5 Chinese language life groups, and the outreach to visiting scholars and graduate students continue. And when we do this Black Hawk Chinese ministry, we're serving new communities in Madison. A big part of reach is about serving new communities. And one of the ways to do that is to partner with a church that is focused on underserved neighborhoods in our city. Zion City Church is one of these churches. Now, God has been building a relationship between Zion City and Blocko for a number of years now. About 3 years ago, Koya McNair, the pastor of Zion City, called up Pastor Chris and said, hey, let's get together and chat. Well, they became friends. And as their friendship has deepened, so has the relationship between our churches. Over the last couple of years, our two churches have worked together to host the IF Gathering for Women. And they also join us in co-hosting a number of Love Madison projects. God has grown the relationship between our churches, and it's time for that next step. Now, so we're creating what we're calling a sister church relationship between Zion City and Blackhawk. And let me make it very clear. Zion City is not a Blackhawk site. Pastor Koya McNair is not on staff with Blackhawk Church. Okay? However, we're going to be engaged in a way that we learn and grow from them, and we're going to help them prosper in how they reach out to a different part of Madison. Zion City is on track to becoming a member of the Evangelical Church, Evangelical Free Church of America, which is our denomination. And the part of reach is that we will be providing funding to help them deepen and broaden their reach in the city. And also providing training for Pastor Colia McNair in terms of sermon prep material, conferences, and events. Today, it is my pleasure to welcome to the stage Pastor Colia McNair, and I'm going to ask him to speak a little bit about Zion City. Give it up for Colia.
Thanks, Charles. Thanks to Chris and all of the Blackhawk pastors and leaders and staff. To all of you, good morning, Blackhawk Church, and all the people who are watching on video at all of the sites and venues. My name is Coley A. McNair. I am the senior pastor of Zion City Church here in Madison, Wisconsin. I like to think of myself as the leading servant and presiding pastor and founder there. By the way, I probably should give a shout out to my wife, Myra. As you can see, there's a picture of my family and my daughter, Zaya, and Ian is kneeled down, and Isaac is next to me, and then there's Amira. And I should give a shout out to Zion City, too, as well. The logo. I'm just kidding. So there's a picture of our ministry and some of the folks who attend Zion City. Zion City meets every week, every Sunday, at the Boys and Girls Club in the Allied Drive area. Some of you are familiar with that. It's right off the Midvale, Verona Road area. Now, Charles just talked about reaching our city. When you think about Madison, my question to you, what places do you think about? Do you think of places like the Capitol or UW, Camp Randall? How about downtown State Street? Everybody thinks about State Street, right? And then there's Monroe Street and Willie Street. Yeah. Do you think about these places, or do you think about places like Vera Court, Northport, Kennedy Heights, Westbrook, Meadowood, Allied Drive? All of these places, as you can see on this map here, the red dots identify the areas that the city considers to be underserved areas. And yet these places are part of our city. These are good places. There are good people who live there. I've had interactions. I know some folks, and so I can say that. Good people. But some of them have some experiences that are different from other neighbors in Madison. Take, for example, Sharon. Sharon's a member of Zion City. There's a beautiful smile there. And I like to call her my sister because she can cook, man. She can throw down. And so Sharon, she has two grown daughters, a son, and then she has three grandchildren. And Sharon works at American Family Insurance. And one day she got home from work. She wanted to cook herself a little something. Yeah. And, you know, something told her, why don't you just relax? She was tired, just got off work. And actually, her grandkids had just left with her daughter. Her son was at work. So she decided to lay down and get a little rest. And later she would get up and fix herself something. As soon as she did that, she heard a gunshot. The bullet went right through her kitchen, right through the walls of her son's room, and landed in his shoe. Sharon doesn't consider herself a victim. But she and her family could have been victimized that day by somebody in her community. These communities, these things happen. Because these communities are under-resourced for so many different and complex reasons that we can't even get into, or even if we defer about it. One of the things that I think is really critical is spiritual resources. Let me ask you a question. How many of you listen to 102.5? Yeah, there's a few hands, you know. I asked Charles about this. Charles said, I don't listen to 102.5. He said, what's up? I mean, I've been in Madison for over 25 years now, so even I'll listen to 102.5. You know, it's good music, positive message, safe for your family. That's what you hear. And, you know, I attribute my listening whenever I do. I'm a sports radio guy. I love to listen to sports radio. But I attribute my listening to my spiritual maturity, right? You know, I like a different style. But the spiritual maturity part goes out the window because my sons, Isaac and Ian, they love some Toby Mac. And, you know, they'll listen. And my daughter sings and everybody sings. But, you know, there are some people who go to my church. You're not going to listen to 102.5. Good message, great message, but they're not going to listen. There's people who we can reach in our community who don't go to church at all and whatever. They're not going to listen. Taste is really different. Taste in music. And I'll talk about music in a little bit. I love music. If it wasn't for music, I don't know if I had stayed in church. I don't know if I'd been as interested in church. And so when I think about that, I think about the fact that the city doesn't do the greatest job catering to the preferences and needs of people of color. Doesn't do the greatest job. You know, I am the vice president of the African American Council of Churches, had the privilege of serving for quite a few years now. And one thing I noticed, we have about, I think, about 26 churches throughout, 26 black-led churches in the city of Madison. Out of all of those churches, maybe five have full-time pastors. Maybe five. The others are working secular jobs or whatever they're doing, trying to run businesses, or and they're trying to pastor at the same time. This is the spiritual landscape for black pastors in this city, and it's probably not much better for other pastors of color. You know, when I started pastoring Zion City in 2006, as you know by now, Zion City is predominantly black, but it's not all black. Just like Black Hawk is not all white. There's folks who call themselves members here, and you know, black folks, Latino, Asian, there may even be a few folks of Native descent. Hey, you know, Jesus isn't coming back for a black or white church, he's coming back for the right church, right? So when I started pastoring in Zion City, by the way, you should know that I never wanted to have anything to do with teaching or preaching or ministering, so the pastor thing just really messed me up. You know, music, loved music, I do that, right? But, you know, I learned in this too that the Lord certainly has a way of getting you to do what he wants you to do. You cannot outbox him, you can't outrun him. So here I am standing before all of you guys talking. And when I start pastoring there, I had just, you know, I had finished my degree. I double majored in business and management. That's how bad I didn't want to preach, right? Double majored in marketing and management. And a year before I start pastoring, I landed a job with the City of Madison Department of Civil Rights. I'll just tell you a little bit about that too. So I got a chance to chair some committees, and you know, most of my, you know, the work that you do down there, it's about law, it's about, for me, contract compliance, certifications, there's enforcement, there's monitoring, you know, your typical bureaucracy or bureaucratic stuff, right? You know, we used to joke about Madison, how that we'll have a meeting about the meeting, then we have another meeting about the meeting we just had to talk about the meeting we're about to have, right? It says meetings, meetings, meetings. There are good people doing good work there. But one of the things that I begin to ask myself when I thought about it and say, you know, who's really appealing to the hearts of people? You know, I had a lot of interaction working in public with even private. It's not much better in private. I mean, do it because somebody says do it, whatever. But are we doing it because we really want to do it? That's how important spiritual resources are to me. Are we doing it because it's in our heart to do? You know, when I think about marketing and how I look at things, you know, if we have the greatest product in the world, I believe Jesus is the greatest message. The greatest product in the world deserves the greatest service in the world, the greatest people in the world. Thank you very much. I couldn't resist that. So. And so when I think about that, I think about the fact that God calls us, He commands us to love Him with all of our hearts, mind, body, soul, and strength. And then He turns around and commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. When I first reached out to Chris, I got to tell you, I was intimidated. I think it was the beard. It just scared me, man. I got a little something working with me. You know, I didn't know. I thought, this guy's not going to hang out with me. He's going to look at me and think, you know, who are you? Whatever. I was totally wrong. Chris and I got along fine. In fact, he's one of my closest friends, a great mentor. It's way beyond black and white. That doesn't even matter. In fact, last week, y'all, he invited me by his house to help him move. Yeah. I'm in there now, right? Yeah. You know, a church this size, it would be easy for people on the outside to say, I can't come here, you know. Look how big it is. People there are probably arrogant and stuck up and judgmental, you know. And I think about the relationships and the folks that I've got a chance to meet. And, you know, I tell you, you'd be totally wrong. That's not the case. Some good people here, God-loving people here. They have a compassion for the work of God, the will of God. They care about this city. I mean, how many relationships have we allowed to fall by the wayside? How many missed opportunities to be in relationship with people because of a thought in our mind or opinion or fear that we've allowed to just not materialize? Relationships that would have otherwise changed our lives. It really shows you how that man truly does look on the outward appearance, but God knows our hearts. You know, 2 years ago when Chris asked Myra and I to come and have a conversation on stage, you know, I left with an impression that I continue to hold in my heart right now. That is, Blackhawk is this big machine with a big heart. Great place, wonderful place. You know, Chris and I, we don't know what God is doing. In our conversations, like, man, what's happening? He says, I don't know what he's doing. I certainly don't know what he's doing. Maybe you know what God is doing. But just like many of the Bible heroes that we read about, we don't always know what God is doing. We don't always know why he's calling us or where he's going to send us next. I'm so glad that he only asked for that mustard seed of faith. You know, having a concern for the welfare of our city must include the whole city. If only... If only our community could understand the power of Christ followers from different backgrounds coming together, united under the gospel. As the scripture says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. All people, women, boys, and girls. There's not enough room for that. You cannot plant or build enough churches for that. One way that Zion City and Black Hawk has partnered, as Charles shared with you earlier, is through this thing called Love Madison, where we, once a year, we close the doors of our church. I mean, who does that, right? We leave the walls of our churches and we go out there and we serve the greater Madison area. We serve this community. It's one of the tangible ways that we can come together, two churches, but one body, seeking the peace and the prosperity of our city. Take a look.
What is Love Madison? What does it mean to love Madison? Well, here goes. Love Madison is church outside the walls of our church. It's pulling garlic mustard. It's sharing the gospel by folding baby clothes. Love Madison is spending time learning about stories that may not look like ours. Love Madison is goofing around. It's painting. It's reaching our community in a way that we can't on a typical Sunday. Love Madison is a practical way to live out Blackhawk's mission of building a loving community that follows Christ in order to reach a community that is lost without Him. It's a huge opportunity to reach people that might not come through our doors during the year. It lets us do work that helps our whole city flourish. Love Madison demonstrates the gospel in unexpected ways that point back to Jesus. And it all starts with you.
Let me just take a pause here. We've been talking about reaching new and different communities. We talked about Black Hawk Chinese Ministry, and now we're talking about the sister church relationship with Zion City. How are you guys doing? Are you guys excited? Yeah, you guys are excited. I am so excited. I'm so excited because I think we're going to get a glimpse of heaven. We're going to see rubber meet the road. We're going to see whether the gospel truly unite people. We're going to see whether the gospel can bring people together, can break down walls, can create a community where people love and celebrate those who are different from them. And I'm not the only one excited about this. Right? I'm not the only one. Roll clip.
I'm Lauren, and I go to Black Hawk downtown. I started coming to Black Hawk my freshman year, so I've been going here for 4 years now. My sister went to Black Hawk when she was an undergrad, so I had heard about Black Hawk, had been there once or twice when I had come up to visit her. I just remember that sermon standing out of like, this feels different and really interesting, and I feel like I'm learning a lot, and this is probably something that I want to be a part of when I come to college. So when I first heard about REACH, the first thing you think about is the buildings that are being built, and we have an incredible space at Upper House, we have an incredible space at Brader Way, and so it is hard to wrap your brain around the need for more space. But I started going to church at the Majestic, and I was a part of downtown's move to Upper House. And when I first heard that we were going to move out of the Majestic, I wasn't happy about it. But in my time being with Black Hawk downtown through the move, I've seen just the way the community has grown, the way that downtown has been able to serve our campus better, the students, the professors, and in retrospect, it was a great move. And it took me a while to get there, but ultimately, it's not about where Black Hawk is or what the space looks like, but it's about positioning ourselves as a church community to better serve the people of our city. I'm excited about REACH because of the relationship we're building with Zion City Church. I think that if I were to approach God and the gospel with my perspective as a woman, as someone who goes to the University of Wisconsin, someone who grew up in Wisconsin, if I come at the story of the gospel with only my lens, that's a very limited story. And I know that it's about a very limitless God. And so I think that by Black Hawk partnering with people of different backgrounds, people in different areas of the community, that just opens up the city to more of God and to different sides of God. And I think that we can all benefit from that. When I think about engaging with REACH financially, I don't really know what that means for me right now. I graduate in May, so my finances are completely up in the air and about to change drastically. So that will include a lot of prayer, a lot of budgeting and rebudgeting, and just taking steps slowly to be a part of REACH. What I do know is that no matter where I end up, Madison is always going to feel a little bit like home to me, and that has a lot to do with all the things that God has done in my life through Black Hawk. And so no matter where I end up next, I'm really excited about the opportunity to partner with Black Hawk, whether I'm living in Madison or not.
Lauren epitomizes somebody who understands Jeremiah's message to the exiles in Babylon. Now, if anybody deserves to have a rent but don't buy attitude, it's somebody like Lauren. You know, a college student. She's here for 4 years and she's gone. But that's not her mindset. She decided she's going to be part of REACH because she knows she is called to put down roots wherever she's at. She's investing in Madison for the long haul, regardless of how long she lives here. I know some of you are in her shoes. You're a student, or you're in a work situation where, you know, it may not be permanent. You're in a phase of life when you don't know where you're going to be in 3 to 5 years. And it's easy to mentally live out of a suitcase and keep the boxes packed up. And to you and to all of us, Jeremiah says, pray for the city you live in. That's Madison. Live in a way that benefits this city, Madison. And invest in the city as though you're going to live here forever. Now, Lauren also talked about money. She talked about budgeting. She did it so easily. I envy her. I'm a Chinese American. And if you know anything about Chinese American culture, you know that talking to people about money is really, really, really hard. This is very uncomfortable. And this is one area in my life where my cultural upbringing needs to be confronted with the values of the kingdom of God. You know, in Paul's letters, Apostle Paul, when he is absolutely unapologetic when he asks God's people to release resources for God's work. And he's not just unapologetic. He considers it a privilege and an honor for the people of God. And he is right, and I need to get over myself. So here goes. God is inviting you to partner with him in his work here in Madison. Let me say that again. The creator God of the universe wants you to partner with him. He wants an investment of your time, energy, creativity, passion, and financial resources. Now, the obvious question that comes to us is, well, why does he want to partner with us? He doesn't need us. And that's right. The God who can speak the universe into existence does not need our money. No, he wants to partner with us because he wants to transform our lives. He wants to make us like him. He wants for us to live for others. And the reality is this. We live in a world where money is one of the most powerful gods. Money is our security. When we have money, we feel safe. Money is our status. When we have money, we feel good about ourselves and other people treat us differently. Now, none of this is what God has in mind for his people. None of that fits into the values of the kingdom of God. God wants to be our security. God wants to be the basis of our status. God wants to be the foundation of our identity. And if you truly want God to be God in your life, one of the best ways is sacrificial giving. Thank you. Releasing resources for God's work is how we break the power of money in our lives. Nothing frees us money like giving it away. Now, let me be clear. I'm not asking for kind of an emotional response or some kind of guilt response. I'm asking you to take time and really think about this. Think it through thoroughly. And if you're married, talk to your spouse. Serena and I got together one evening, and we laid down our finances, our income, our expenses. We talked about my student loan. I still have those. Mortgages. And then we talked about what we like to see happen here in Madison. We talked about the sister church partnership with Zion City. We talked about all of these neighborhoods that are you know, sprouting up around Brader Way site and the Fitchburg site. And we talked about how much we want to see more and more people encounter Jesus, be transformed by his gospel, and pledge allegiance to him. And then we arrived at a figure. It is the largest number we have ever pledged to any initiative in our lives. But the number does not matter. It's the process. Talking about money as spiritual resources to be released for God's work is a huge part of how we grow as Christ followers. It's as much a spiritual discipline as prayer and reading the Bible. So today I want to ask you to commit to doing the process, to commit to thinking about sacrificial giving for 30 months. Now, some of you may have all kinds of questions. You're like, I don't know how to do that, or questions about reach. And there will be people in every site, every venue, for you to approach and ask these questions. But today I want to ask you, will you commit to this process? Will you commit going through the process? Okay. In the story of our church, reach is a next step. And it's not about what we accomplish. It's about setting the stage for God to do more than all we can ask or imagine. Because reach is not about us. It's about others. It's for the good of our city, and for the sake of our world. I'm going to close by asking Pastor Koya to come and pray for us.
God, you have a way of stretching us beyond our comfort, areas where we feel safe. I mean, I feel stretched this morning, coming to this stage without all my notes, because we want to do perfectly. We want to speak well. We want people to be moved. We want to say all the right things. But Lord, as I stand here, you help us to realize that it's not about me. And Lord, there are people here today who are thinking about reach and this message and wondering, you know, what do I do or how can I serve? Lord, we want to do things perfectly. And if we're true Christ followers, we're thinking about your divine will and how to be a part of that and how to please you and how to make a difference in this world. But Lord, it's not about us. It's not about any of us here. This is about what you want to do. And so, Lord, we entrust our hearts. We want to trust you. We want to give our hearts, we lift our hearts to you, our minds, our thoughts, whatever it is that you want to do, that you see in this city, Lord, we give it to you. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.